So as we continue on in our series about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, today we're going to talk about joy. It's another one of those dry logs that we can place on the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that came to my mind when I thought about joy, can you think about what it might be? It's a song we used to sing in Sunday school back in the 1980s. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. Did you catch that last line of the lyrics? Down in my heart to stay. So my question would be, do we have the joy of the Holy Spirit down in our hearts to stay? And maybe more is, how can that really be possible with everything that's happening in the world today? To have that joy down in our hearts to stay. I mean, there's so much that comes these days that can rob or steal that joy away, or try to anyhow. I mean, there's mental fatigue, all that negative news that we hear on the TV and on the internet. Really, that's a pretty damp log to put on the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, things like the coronavirus. I mean, are we going to stay safe? Or are we going to contract the virus? How long is this going to last? Are things going to get worse? And then there's all the news about the different nations. It doesn't seem like one country can get along with another country these days. I don't know if anybody's really has any allies. They all seem to be digging at one another and putting tariffs here and just going at each other. How long before a world war rages? And then there's the racial challenges that seem to be happening. And we just become overwhelmed with one thing after another and filled with tension and stress. As we allow these things to fill our minds, soon the joy in our heart can start to burn out. Another wet log which will rob the joy is spiritual problems. When we have unconfessed sin in our lives, that starts to rob the joy from our hearts. In fact, what happens is, with that unconfessed sin, then the guilt starts to raise because the enemy uses that really quick. And the joy is soon gone of living for Jesus. In fact, it might even feel like it's been beaten out of us. Unforgiveness and resentment towards others seems to steal the joy from our hearts pretty quick. So there's the spiritual problems, the mental fatigue, and then there's physical problems that can rip that joy from us. When we start to experience health issues, one thing after another in our lives, or maybe it's in somebody we know, a loved one or a good friend, struggling with those health issues. We can quickly lose our joy. Just seems like one health issue, and then there's another, and then there's another. Or what about financial struggles? It can throw a wet log on the fire. When all of a sudden we're struggling financially just to make it from moment to moment to moment to moment, starts to smother our joy. Yet as challenging as all these things are, and those are only a few things that can challenge us and steal our joy, as challenging as all those are, They cannot really rob us or steal our joy. It can't really do that. They can't completely take that joy away. For we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Once we commit our lives to Jesus, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He lives within us. He resides inside us. Our bodies become His home, as it were. If that's the case, if the Holy Spirit is inside us, then the fruit of the Spirit is in us as well. If the Spirit of God is in us, then the fruit of the Spirit is in us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there against such things there is no law. As the Holy Spirit dwells in us, His fruit is in us, His joy is in us. It's there. The joy can't be taken away. It might be buried by the mental fatigue and all those things that go along with it, all that junk we listen to on the news. It might be buried by some spiritual problems, if we have unforgiveness, or the joy gets buried, or by physical problems, it can get buried, but the joy isn't gone because the Holy Spirit lives within us, and that joy is there. It's there. It just doesn't become the focus anymore. I don't know how many times I've gone down to my workshop and I've gone to look for something and I can't find it. I've looked and looked for that screwdriver or that tape measure or that wrench, whatever it is, I can't find it. And if it's a special tool and I can't find it, I start to wonder, what happened to it? Did I lose it? Did I put it out somewhere and leave it somewhere? Did I take it somewhere? Or did somebody take it? Like, it's gone. The truth is, it's not gone. It's just hidden under all the stuff. All the other junk I've got down in my workshop. Just need to get my wife to come down and have a look. And she goes, "Is this what you're looking for?" But, you know, it's still there. I might think it's gone and it's lost, but it's still there. Even if it's under a pile of junk, it's there. And the joy of the Spirit is still in our lives, even if it's underneath everything else. The joy of the Holy Spirit isn't lost. We might have lost our happiness, but not our joy. Most people think that happiness and joy are the same thing, and we use those terms interchangeably in the English language, but there's a huge difference. Happiness is focused on people, situations, and circumstances. Let me share. When we moved from Kamloops to Nanaimo, we were looking for a house that was all on one floor. Basically, we wanted something that didn't have any work because we wanted to pour ourselves into the ministry, so we didn't want to be working on the home all the time. And we found this perfect little home. 1,540 square feet, and it was perfect. Nice yard, thought, great, this is exactly what we want. It was only a year and a half old. No work. Everything was done. I was happy. I was so happy. We bought the home, moved in. Not long after we moved in, we realized that there was a water issue in the yard. So I went out and I put some drainage tile out across the back of the yard to take the water off the back of the yard. So we sort of got that under control a bit. But, you know, in Nanaimo, you think it rains here. In Nanaimo, it rains lots. And there's still a water issue because the water started getting into the crawl space. See, there was a sump pump for the crawl space, and it couldn't even keep up. And the water was in the crawl space. So I talked to a fella, and we had to dig around all three sides of the house it's a long story. Anyhow, we put in the storm sewer a little lower and got the drainage and the crawl space fixed, and that was great. We got that, but now it meant that we had to landscape all the yard because we dug up all the yard. And before we got to that, I was going to put some sidewalks in, and there was a big cement slab at the back, and the cement slab had started to sink in the back, and it started to sink towards the house. So when the rain fell on the cement slab, it drained towards the house. So we got some guys to pump up. They drilled some holes and pumped up the cement slab, and that didn't last long, and it started to sink again. So finally, I jackhammered out the whole cement slab, and it was just one thing after another. I was not happy. I was not happy. It was supposed to be the house where I could pour myself into the ministry. I would go to work and do my stuff at church and do what I needed to do. But every time bit of time off I had, I was working on that house. In fact, I was so unhappy, I told Kathy one day, "This is the house from hell." But I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. See, my happiness is based on my circumstances. And when things are going well and things are good, then we're happy. But when they're not going well, when we're not getting along with somebody, or the circumstances aren't going well, or the situation, there's a problem, then our happiness is gone. Joy, on the other hand, is not focused on people, situations, or circumstances. Listen to the definition Rick Warren gave for joy. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every circumstance or every situation. See, joy is focused on God, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's where joy is focused on. It's not focused on the situation or the problem. Let me share an illustration out of Acts chapter 16, starting from verse 16, and we're not going to read it, but what's happening here in this account is these people have a slave girl, and she is a fortune teller, and they make good money off her going around telling fortunes. Paul and Silas come into the community, and this girl is going around saying, "These men are the men of the Most High God." And she's just becoming a bit of annoyance. So Paul casts out the evil spirit in her. Well, the owners of this slave girl realize that now she can't tell any fortunes, and they're not going to make any money off her. So they're upset. So they drag Paul and Silas to the marketplace, and they drag them before the magistrate. Paul and Silas are flogged severely. And then they're taken off and thrown into prison, into a damp, probably rat-infested prison. I think it would be safe to say that Paul and Silas weren't happy. Oh, I'm so happy to get flogged and thrown into prison. You know, that's just what I thought we would do today. This is just working out perfect. Yet, they still had joy. You see, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They weren't happy, but they were filled with joy. See, Paul and Silas were not focused on those who brought the charges against them. They weren't focused on who flogged them, or their chains, or the damp, wet, infested cell that they were locked in. They weren't focused on what might happen tomorrow, because who knows, they're in prison. Tomorrow, they might decide to execute them. Who knows? But they weren't focused on that. They were focused on God. They knew their God was bigger than all their circumstances. And He was in control of every little detail. They knew things would work out just as the Lord had planned. And thus they determined to praise Him in the midst of the challenge. And we could talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who were thrown into the fiery furnace. Or there's tons of illustrations. And each one of those had the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They threw that dry log onto the fire of the Spirit in their lives. And in Paul and Silas' situation, they might not have been happy, but as they threw that log onto the fire, their joy came out. And their joy burned bright. And did you catch it? The other prisoners were listening to them. That's how bright their joy was. You know, Kathy went to visit Marie yesterday in the hospital. Here's a lady that has maybe a couple of days left to live. As Kathy was visiting with Marie, they were only allowed to have one person in there at a time. So I was talking with Virginia, and Virginia was telling me how her mom just continually has this smile on her face. She'll just all of a sudden just beam with a smile on her face. Kathy comes down and says, you know, I would talk to her. I say, hey, Marie, it's Kathy. And she's got her eyes open, and she just, big smile comes on her face. And Kathy would share something else and a big smile would come on her face. Is she happy that it's the end of life? Probably not. But she hasn't lost the joy of the Lord. I could talk about Maggie. She never knows what the next day is going to hold for her. But she's filled with the joy of the Lord. Not always happy. Because the happiness is based on our situation. Happiness is set on shifting sand, which continually changes. While our joy is set on the firm foundation, on Christ, the solid rock. That's where the joy comes from. It's from knowing that Jesus knows every intricate detail of our lives and that He is in control. That He's first of all saved us from the pits of hell and He's got a home waiting for us. But you know, he's got a home for us. And he's watching over us. The solid foundation. Not only does the joy come because we focus on God, but also because God is filled with joy. Have you ever read the account of creation of the world? It starts off in Genesis chapter 1, and God created the light and the sea and the plants and the stars and the moon and the sun, the birds and the animals. And he did all that in 5 days. And you know, if you read that in those 5 days, 6 times we read, and God saw that it was good. And then on the 6th day, God created man and woman. And after he created man and woman, we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. It says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and morning, the 6th day. Now you might say, I'm stretching things a bit, but I don't think I am. It seems to me, as God finishes his creation work on the 6th day, and he looks at it all, and he looks at man and woman who are the pinnacle of creation, I think he's sort of rejoicing when he says, it's very good. I mean, it's not a proudful thing that he's saying, it's very good. It's very good. I'm excited. Look at the creation. It's amazing. I think that's where he's at. Because listen to Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. In the original language, he will take great delight. The original language, great delight, means to express great joy. Express great joy. Not just have great joy. I can say, yeah, I have great joy that Kathy's my wife. Or I can say, this is my wife whom I love and adore. She is the one who just fires up my life. I mean, there's a difference with just having great joy and expressing great joy. God says he's going to express great joy in you. Great joy in you. Because you're his children. Oh man, I brag about my children. I have great joy in my children. And I express it. And then, as you read on, so the Father expresses great joy over Israel, over those who are his, in you and me. But as we read on, it says that he will rejoice over you with singing. That word rejoice is a different word, but it has the same sense, expressing great joy. And the word singing is not just a quiet melody to put you to sleep. The actual sense is with loud singing. He expresses great joy over you with loud singing. He's excited. He's filled with joy. He loves his people. He loves his creation. Jesus tells us about the vine and the branches in John 15. And if you've never read that, I'd encourage you to read that. But then he states in verse 11 of John 15, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Jesus, who is God, says he has joy. My joy. My joy, Jesus says, may be in you, my children, so that your joy may be complete. You know, as you look at things, you start to see how the Trinity really works out. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know. God's filled with joy. Jesus is filled with joy. And the Holy Spirit has the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. It all fits together. Jesus states that as God, he has joy and wants that joy to be in us. Isn't that what we want deep down inside? We don't really want the happiness. I mean, happiness is okay, but it's fleeting. We want that joy down, 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 down in our hearts to stay. We want to focus on God, for we know that's where our joy comes from. And we want His joy down in our hearts. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 reads, the last part of it reads, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." At the time this is written, Ezra is reading the law to the people of Israel. And as he's reading the law, the people are weeping because they know they've sinned. But Ezra says, this is a sacred day. This is a feasting day. This isn't a day to grieve, but it's a day that the joy of the Lord should be your strength. See, the joy of the Lord is that which will increase our inward strength so we can do what the Lord has called us to do. And we can do it not with grudging, heavy hearts. Oh man, I gotta go and be nice to my neighbor because the Bible tells me to. That's not what it is. It's having the joy of the Lord inside saying, wow, I get to meet my neighbor and talk with my neighbor. I get to go and help so-and-so, or I get to do this, or I get to do that. It's so we can do it, what He's called us to do, with a light and cheerful heart. The joy inside of us has the Lord for the object that we're focused upon. And we find strength that renews us spiritually so we can run and not be weary and walk and not be faint as we do His will. I think maybe that's where Paul was sort of coming from when he wrote Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I should have underlined that. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Happiness might come from people, situations, and circumstances, such as eating and drinking. Paul says, but that's not what life's about. It's about joy in the Holy Spirit. That's where the joy is found. When a person filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit enters a room, it becomes contagious to those around. My neighbor John, we drove in at the same, or they were parked already, and we drove in, and John was just unloading his car, and he came over and started talking to me, and he just had the joy of the Spirit yesterday on him, and it was just like, he says, oh, I'm sorry, I should go back. I shouldn't keep you. But no, I wanted to stay and talk to you. I want to stay and talk to you because the joy of the Spirit is on you. You want to be around people who are joyful. Who want to be around those people who are grumpy and miserable? No. If we are filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit when we come in contact with people, it's contagious with others. The dry log of joy will burn bright. Let's continually build the fire of the Spirit in our lives, but putting good dry wood, such as love and joy, on that fire. It'll burn bright. It will be in our hearts to stay. We've got the joy, 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 joy of the Lord down in our hearts to stay. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your joy. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit which lives within us, which dwells within us, which makes his home in us because you've placed him there. And his fruit is within us. It's there. Father, may we take the junk off the fruit of the Spirit. May we take the junk off the joy, the junk of the world off that, and may we focus on you and see your joy in the midst of whatever we're going through. And may your joy just burn bright in our lives that others might see it. Forgive us for the times when we walk in happiness or unhappiness because of where our emotions are. Help us to focus on you so the joy is a steady, bright flame in our lives. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.